Thank you, choir, for that number this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 12. I don't know how many of you have or set before yourself New Year's resolutions, but I could give you a couple suggestions. When Di and I were at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina, there's a display there in the lower level of the visitor center, a display that contains a number of Billy Graham's Bibles. Most all of them very, very worn and tattered. And yet Billy Graham was asked a number of years before he passed away, if you could go back and do it all over again, would you do anything differently? And his immediate response was, I would read my Bible more. Maybe that ought to be our resolution for the new year, to read our Bibles more. Secondly, I would like to encourage you, because I think it's a great testimony, for one thing, and I think it's really good for us to get familiar with our own Bibles. We are so blessed. People around the world that would clamor to get a Bible. Those who sacrifice their lives in order that they might have a Bible, and yet we seem to neglect the very fact that we have free access to them. Might I encourage you, as I have done in the past, bring your own Bible to church. Let that be a witness. Let that be an opportunity when somebody might say to you, why do you carry your Bible with you? You'll have an opportunity to share the importance of God's Word in your life. Exodus chapter 12. And by the way, that was all free. No charge for that. I had a lady just yesterday, I believe it was. I was in a business, and she said, what time does your church service start tomorrow? And I said, at 11 o'clock. And she said, and it gets over at noon? And I said, well, that's hard to say. I didn't have the heart to tell her that I didn't get to preach last week, so I've got ground to make up. Exodus chapter 12, we're going to read a rather lengthy passage here. Exodus 12, beginning with verse 1 and concluding with verse 42. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month you shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days you shall eat the unleavened bread, and the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened, and in all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all of the elders of Israel, and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at that door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when the children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That you shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and of the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all of his servants and all of the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, and there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We be all dead men. And the Lord took their dough, and the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside the children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel, who dwelt in Egypt, was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all of the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel, in their generations. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, ancient upon paper, but alive today. We thank you, Lord, for truth as we live in a world of lies. And so, Lord, today we would that you would hide your servant behind the cross and speak through these lips of clay words of truth to the point, Lord, of penetrating the heart and the soul of every man, every woman, and every child. For faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. May it be so. Empower this sermon, Lord, for your glory, that you might be recognized as the Lord. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about Happy New Year's, obviously. And I was thinking about what a fallacy it is. It's simply the turn of a calendar. And yet sometimes we look around us and we see the people around us celebrating, and most of it drunkenness and partying and vain celebration. Somehow oblivious to the fact that tomorrow will in no way be any different than yesterday. When the music dies and the celebration ceases, those who are living in the world trying to find happiness, contentment, and fulfillment in the things of the world will find themselves dead and empty and under the burden of unforgiven sin. When they wake from their stupor of celebration, they will find that they are still in fear of death and the grave. They will certainly be confronted with suffering and hardship. And when the end of their life comes, if they don't come to the realization of Christ, a New Year's Day is no different than any other day. There is a day for a man to be born, a day for him to die, and then the judgment. You know, we live almost as if there's nothing important here. And I was thinking about how frivolous and how silly our New Year's celebrations are. And I went back to this passage because it is this moment in time that God says this will be the beginning of a new year. You're going to change your calendars from what would have been probably in the area of September is the beginning of the year to make it approximately sometime in April, that this is the beginning of your year because this is the time when God is going to move. It isn't that God isn't moving all the time, and it isn't that God is not speaking all the time. You know, this, what takes place here starts many chapters prior to this. In fact, if you go all the way back to Exodus chapter 4, you can go to Acts chapter 4 too, but we'll go to Exodus just for the sake of this conversation. Exodus chapter 4, and Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor will they hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto you." You see, Moses and Aaron now being called of God to go and to make this proclamation to the children of Israel and to Pharaoh to set his people free. And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in your hand?" I love that. God knew what was in his hand. But can't you just picture Moses now? "What is that in your hand, Moses?" "It's a rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Of course he did. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth your hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and he caught it. And it became a rod in his hand again. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared unto you. not settled with that, the Lord said, "Now, Moses, take your hand and put it in your bosom." And Moses did what the Lord said to do, and he pulled it out, and it was white with leprosy. And God said, "Now, put it back in there a second time and pull it out," and it was like brand new flesh. And God said, "If the children of Israel will not believe the first, then show them the second. And if they won't believe the second, then go down and take the water dipped out of the river and pour it on the ground, and it'll turn to blood. And they'll believe that this was the moving of God, that God was demonstrating his power over the gods of Egypt and over those who were holding them in bondage. And God was to demonstrate his power to his people that he would deliver them." You see, the message of the Exodus, and my phraseology would be this: Pharaoh, set them free to worship me. That's God's end goal. And God is moving and showing his power. And so we would go forward, and Moses and Aaron then in boldness of the Lord would go before Pharaoh and demand that he set his people free. And you know the account. Pharaoh hardens his heart, and God hardens his heart, and he won't set them free. And so God then begins these plagues upon the land of Egypt. They would have magicians there. They would have sorcerers there. And again, we would see the rod becoming a snake, and back again. And the magicians did the same thing. The Bible tells us that in the end times there will be many signs and wonders. But be not deceived. They are not all of God. And so the first plague, you'll remember in chapter 7, verse 19, God turned the water into blood. And the magicians did the same. And then the blood was turned back into water. The second one in chapter 8 and verse 1, God caused frogs to come out of the water and to inhabit their homes and their buildings. And the magicians did the same. In chapter 8 and verse 16, God calls the dust to become lice, and inhabiting every place like a cloud of dust was lice. And the magician said, "We can't do that." You see, God is demonstrating, he's showing his power. And Satan has some power, but he does not have all power. And God is building a case before the children of Israel and before Pharaoh, and he's showing who he is and his ability. So through three plagues, God's people are still in bondage. Chapter 8 and verse 20. God causes a multitude, a cloud of flies to infest the land. Chapter 9, God demonstrates his power when he causes a pestilence unto death to come upon their cattle and their horses, their asses, their camels, their oxen, and their sheep. Chapter 9, verse 8, God is demonstrating his power when he causes boils to come upon the people of Egypt. And it specifically lists the magicians as well. Chapter 9 and verse 22, God causes hail to fall from heaven, mingled with fire, except on the land of Goshen, where God's people are gathered together. In chapter 10 and verse 12, God causes the plague of the locusts to devour their crops in this pestilence. You see, God bringing about all of these things to show his power to Pharaoh, to show his power over the Egyptian gods, and to show his power to his people and they were still in bondage. Chapter 10 and verse 21, God causes 3 days of darkness, so dark that Scripture said the darkness could be felt. And yet the children of Israel had light in their homes. But they were still in bondage. The message God had sent through Moses was that he would free his people from their bondage so that they might worship him. You'll remember Jesus said, God is a spirit and he must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. And these people are held up in bondage. And God is moving. And God is showing his power. And yet they're still in bondage. Until we come to the portion of Scripture that we read this morning, chapter 12. And now God will set his people free. You'll remember John in his gospel account going, as people were going along the Jordan, heading to Jerusalem for the Passover, this convocation that the Lord had instituted here in Exodus chapter 12. They were holding to it, and John was there at the river, and he was baptizing for the remission of sins, and people were coming by, and I wish that I could have been there, as the choir sang, to see these families with their paschal lambs, their first-year lambs, their male lambs, the best that they had without any blemish, and they're walking their way to Jerusalem, where they're going to offer, as is indicated here, continuing on with that, and here comes Jesus, and you remember John's proclamation, "Behold the Lamb of God. It takes away the sins of the world." You see, the Passover and all that's instituted here points us to the reality of who Christ is. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 would declare that he, Christ, is our Passover. And so today, is God moving? Yes. Is God showing his power? Yes. But the question is, are you free? The question is, have you been set free? Because that was God's mission in the Passover, and that is God's mission in Christ, who is our Passover. So we compare our New Year's to the fallacy of the New Year without Christ. I want you to take note of this. In plagues 1 through 9, God makes no requirements of his people. In plagues 1 through 9, Moses goes before Pharaoh, and God speaks through Moses, and through a demonstration of that rod, the power of God, God does what God does. But with the 10th plague, the angel of death, God makes a requirement of his people. And the requirement of his people was an act that they would commit by faith. That God had said it, they believed it, therefore they did it. You see, James says faith without works is dead, and that's true. John would make the proclamation in chapter 1 and verse 12 of his gospel for those who believe and receive. The book of Romans would tell us that we are to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths. Peter preached his first sermon, and the response of the people was, "What must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized and be saved." The Philippian jailer later, you recall the account in Acts, The Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." And you start putting all of Scripture together, and what you discover is to believe is an action word. That faith is an action word. To follow Christ is an action word. To keep my commandments and be saved is an action word. Now, I'm not preaching salvation of works, for it is God who is working. But in every instance, God calls us to respond. God's instruction to his people were to take that paschal lamb, that the best that they had, and to take it and to do what with it? 4 days prior, on the 10th day of the month, to take it and to prepare it for 4 days later. And I remind you, Jesus entered into Jerusalem 4 days prior to the Passover. The writer of Hebrews says, "He is prepared for me a body." And so a virgin gave birth in the fullness of time, born of the Spirit of God, and Christ became a man. And God was preparing a body, a lamb for me. The Word tells us so many things that we would spend far past noon, and it's already noon. But they were to eat it. And they were to eat it quickly. And they were to eat it completely. And I remind you that Jesus said, "Unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you cannot be my disciple." And we don't have the privilege nor the opportunity to dine on part of it, but all of it with the bitter herbs. You see, we can't just accept the crown. We have to take the cross. And they were to eat it all. And they were to take the blood of that lamb and they were to apply it to the side post and the lintel of the door. And to go in and not to come out. And I remind you, they went in under bondage. They came out, praise God, free men. God had set them free. On the side posts and across the lintel, but not on the threshold. For the writer of Hebrews says, we ought not to trample underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. Those who are set free, my friend, are those who have come through the blood of the paschal lamb. Christ Jesus. Those who are set free are those who have taken the blood of Christ and applied it to the doorposts of their heart. Those who are free in Christ are free indeed. When you pass through the blood, God sets us free. I don't know about you, but to me that changes everything. It's like the beginning of something new. It's like old things have passed away and all things have become new. It's almost as if I'm a new creature in Christ. Oh, that's right, I am. It's almost as if I've been born again. Oh, yes, that's right, I am. It's almost as if the year starts fresh and new. In hope, when I had no hope before. There is no hope, my friends, in a new year if the new year is not in Christ. Have you been cleansed by the blood of Jesus? Have you taken the great work of God and applied it unto your own heart? Is he yours? Oh, I wish that I could have been there. You can be there in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is nothing new under the sun. Your word tells us that this world is what it is, that it is faulty and broken and fallen down. This world tells us, Lord, that the end is destruction. The world, Lord, as your word tells us, is not able to satisfy. It is not able to quench the thirst, the hunger, the desire that we have within us. Your word tells us, Lord, that everything in this world is idolatry if we put our faith and our trust and our love to it. Lord, how often we've been taught that lesson. When we thought we could be content with something here, only to find discontentment to follow. Your word teaches us, Lord, that this world is bondage. The ways of the world, the love of the world, the love of the lust of the eye. And your word teaches us that your Son came to set us free. Even as we read that account, Lord, in John chapter 8, they didn't understand it. They said, but we be in bondage to no men. Even as they were getting ready to celebrate the Passover, which marked that day when God set them free from 430 years of bondage, somehow they had forgotten. And of course, Jesus was talking about spiritual bondage. I wonder, Lord, how many here today, hearing this message, are living lives that they can't, things in their lives that they can't change. They want to live in a righteous manner, and yet, Lord, they find that they're in bondage to do the things they don't desire to do. I wonder how many here, Lord, today have a knowledge of Christ Jesus but have never been set free by Him because they have never applied the blood of Christ to their own lives. That it is victory that you have promised. That you are bringing the armies of God out of Egypt. That you are setting free your people. And that we can be free as well. And so, Lord, today as we begin in preparation, Lord, to turn the page of a calendar to a new year, 2019, Lord, help us to examine our hearts and our lives. Have I, in fact, responded to the work of God? Have I believed? Have I received? Am I living in Christ? And Lord, you know our hearts. And so, Lord, help us, show us our hearts. Are we in a right relationship with you, or are we perhaps playing some religious game? Lord, speak to each one of our hearts. Help us to understand, Lord, that we are the ones in captivity. We are the ones plagued with the guilt of our own sin. We are the ones who are unable to live lives that are worthy of you. And help us, Lord, to humble ourselves before you and to cry out, oh Lord Jesus, I'm the sinner you came to save. I repent of my sin, Lord, and I ask you to come and to live within my heart. Apply your blood to my life that I might be washed clean. That I might have a good conscience toward you. That my sins might be forgiven. Lord, speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. We look forward, Lord, to a new year. Those who have received Christ Jesus, your grace is sufficient for every day. We are learning, Lord, every day not to worry about what tomorrow holds. For you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. We are learning, Lord, every day to walk by faith, to trust and to believe. We are learning every day, Lord, to depend upon you. And so we thank you for your grace, which is sufficient. Embolden us and strengthen us, Lord, to trust and believe. So that you might be glorified in the lives that we live. That we might be recognized and understood as your people, your children, the sheep of your pasture. And the Lord, you might be exemplified within our lives so that others might come to faith in Christ. We look forward to the new year in Christ Jesus alone. Amen. Amen.